Hello, 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 everyone. You're now tuned into Unorthodox Real, and I'm your host, Relicious. Thank you for tuning in. Today, I'm here with a special guest. Please introduce yourself.
What's up, everybody? My name is Daniel Orohoro, fondly known to a lot of people as Uncle Dan Dan. So, hi.
Yes, we have Dan here. We're going to have a really good episode. But first, I want to start off with rapid fire questions. So the first question is, what is one thing you would put on your bucket list right now?
One thing that's definitely on my bucket list is skydiving. I want to skydive. That's something I always wanted to do, but I got to drop the weight first. So the goal is by 25, by my 25th birthday, I want to have skydived.
Is there a specific place that you want to do it at, or does it really matter?
It doesn't really matter for me right now, but I just want to at least knock that out first and skydive, and then if I want to go to like other places, but skydiving is for sure on the bucket list.
Are you a morning or a night person?
Absolutely a morning person.
Mm-hmm. What is
and
one
that's weird.
Thing that
I- Oh, that's no. weird. That's weird considering I work at night. I'm a morning person, but I work nights, so it's like my body completely gets thrown off.
So it doesn't matter what time you go to sleep, you'll still wake up early.
Like I could sleep at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. My body automatically wakes up at like 9.
I feel that. That's literally how I am. What is one thing that annoys you the most?
Let's see. One thing that annoys me the most, I would have to say cigarettes. I can't stand the smell. I can't. Mm-hmm. You know, like when people walk past you and they have that stale cigarette smell.
Yes,
I can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. It makes my skin crawl just thinking about it.
That's actually a different one that people have said.
Oh, yeah. Can't do it.
What is your favorite hobby?
Right now, I would probably say it's gun collecting.
Gun collecting.
Yeah. So I recently got it. So here's a backstory.
Oh, please share.
So, you know, with this whole election stuff and everything that's been going on right now.
Yeah.
I have. It's been removed from my eyes that we have this false sense of security.
Yeah.
So right now I have this hobby of essentially practicing ways to essentially protect myself and those I love if things were to ever go south.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm learning a lot of self-defense things. So first thing mm-hmm. is I wanted to get more comfortable using guns, knowing how to mm-hmm. use them, knowing different ways to use them and figuring out what's best for me. Because we really have this false sense of security that Michigan is this one beautiful, perfect state when, let's be real, we are in one of the most racist states in the country.
Yeah.
So that's why I would say guns and like practicing self-defense tactics is mm-hmm. probably one of my newfound hobbies.
Wow. That's actually a good skill to have. What is your lifelong dream?
End goal is to be happy. And not look back and regret anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's my lifelong dream. Yes, I want to be a doctor. Yes, I want to do all of that. But mm-hmm. at the end of it all, my goal is to be happy and be able to look myself in the mirror and say, I've done everything I've wanted to do.
Yeah, that's amazing. What new technology do you think will transform the future?
Organ, like the 3D printing.
Yeah.
Like how they're 3D printing organs right now and how it could possibly save people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that's going to transform the medical field in a way that we don't even realize yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Last rapid fire question is, what is your favorite song right now?
23 by Burna Boy.
That's my favorite song on the album.
That Onyeka and maybe Time Flies.
Mm-hmm.
Those three are my top three. But 23 is up there.
Yeah.
Honorable mention is, let's see, what have I been listening to lately? Honorable mention has been Maserati and Infiniti. Those are the two honorable mentions.
Oh.
Honorable mention.
So let's get into the podcast. So yep. I ask every single guest, since the name of the podcast is Unorthodox Real, what makes you unorthodox? So what makes Daniel unorthodox?
I am a bio student that also is a photographer that also is now, well, coming to be soon Sunday, a brand owner. So it's like, yeah. I don't fit any stereotypical mold of what you would expect when you see a picture of me.
Yeah.
I'm extremely unorthodox. Like, you very rarely hear science students with a creative passion.
Yeah. So let's talk about first, I guess we can first talk about school. So what made you want to become a doctor? Like, growing up, was it something that always wanted to be a doctor type, or you had other interests?
Ooh, yeesh. Growing up in a African household, you're either a doctor, lawyer, or an engineer. So it's one of the three, right? Mm-hmm. And I think always, like, my mom was like, you're going to be the doctor, your sister's going to be the engineer, and your brother's going to be the lawyer, because I had three siblings in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it got personal when I found out I had an aunt who had cervical cancer.
Oh.
And unfortunately, she passed because her doctors did not take her pain seriously enough.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. So that was one of the driving factors. I was like, okay, I actually want to be a doctor. And through that, mm-hmm. become an OB. But then the funny thing is, now you're getting an Orthodox World exclusive. I'm thinking of changing that from not just only being a doctor, but to be a doctor that affects hospital policy. Not just an actual doctor, because one thing, as I got older, I started to realize doctors can do all they want, but their hands are still bound by hospital policy.
Yeah.
So we need people of color and a lot more emphasis on the policy and the paperwork aspect, which would allow the doctors to do more. So mm-hmm. Through that reason and through what I'm seeing now, that's exactly why I'm still in the whole medical field or medical track.
That's great. So at what time point in your career were you like, okay, I could do science and be creative? So I guess we could talk about photography. Like, when did you start taking pictures on your first camera?
I would say about 3 years ago. It's been 3 years since I started photography.
Oh, wow. Yes,
because it's 2017. So it's been 3 years since I started photography. It was random because my best friend had just like randomly got a camera and I picked up his camera and I just like, you know, regular playing around, just taking photos.
Yeah.
And then we went outside. I took photos of him. And in that moment, something clicked inside me and was like, imagine if you're able to tell the world a story through your eyes because of this camera.
Yeah.
So at first it started with that. And then it got to, I have a friend and a mentor, Courtney, who basically told me, if you're going to pick up a skill, do the research and do the work to learn the skill and master the craft. Treat it like a craft. Treat it like you would treat school and dedicate your time and your research to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that moment, he was like, life. And one thing he always told me was, life isn't monolithic.
Yeah.
Just because you're one thing does not mean you cannot do another. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do another, make sure you dedicate the same amount of time or the same amount of effort you're putting into one into the other. Yes, there are priorities, but you still have to dedicate that time. So I picked up the camera for my friend. I want to say about three or four months later, I had saved up $1,000. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to invest this $1,000 into this photography. And I would spend countless of nights on YouTube learning editing skills, learning photography skills, looking at different videos on how to do this thing. So it took me like my first year to really understand if I really wanted to do it. And then I just got good and I've been running with it since. So photography started thanks to my best friend, Manny, because I picked up his camera.
Oh, wow. Shout out to Manny if he's listening.
Yeah.
So in that moment when you were like, okay, I'm going to do this photography thing. I'm going to start learning and like try to perfect the craft. Did you ever think, okay, now that I know what I'm doing, how am I going to get people to actually want to shoot with me? Like, so what was your first shoot?
My first shoot. Ooh, let's go. I can actually go back to my Instagram and see this. My first shoot. I think I can also. Ooh, boy. Let's see. My very first shoot was taking from an iPhone before I got my camera.
Okay.
Taken with an iPhone, and it was standing up on top of, for my Wayne State people, it was standing right on top of Structure 2 overlooking Anthony Wayne. So it was this photo.
Oh, that's a good picture.
That was taken on my iPhone and edited on my iPhone and posted.
Mm-hmm.
My first real shoot for real was just me asking a bunch of friends like, hey, I'm trying to practice. Do you mind just coming out and taking some photos with me? Mm-hmm. Then I started getting photos like this. So I would have watched a bunch of YouTube videos. I would have watched a bunch of YouTube videos and then tried to recreate what I saw. Then I got my camera, and these were taken with a camera.
Oh, those are good.
And I would practice like my editing skills. Mm-hmm. And then my first paid shoot was with Amaka, who was a friend of mine, and I charged her $35. And $35 was the first thing because I was like, I'm not that good yet. I'm just practicing, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then I also have a thing with, I'll say this, through Alpha, I learned how to market not just events, but myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was able to create flyers. I was able to trade off my service. So I offered one of my friends, hey, I'll take these pictures of you if you can make me this flyer.
Yeah.
So I took pictures for them. They got their headshots. They made me a flyer. And through that flyer and through the little promotional tactics I had learned from promoting events on campus and all of that, I was able to market myself. And then once I got those first few clients, they referred me to other people. And then they referred me to other people. And then that just helped my Instagram continuously grow. I also ran like ads through Instagram. So like if I was doing like a photography special, everybody loves cheap photos. Mm-hmm. But it got to a point where my cheap photos started to get really good.
Yeah.
So once they saw the work and then they saw that it was cheap, that's how it started to snowball. And from there, I've just been growing.
What was your first event shoot? Like non, just like one-on-one.
My first event shoot. Ooh. Oh, man. My first event shoot was actually a wedding.
Oh, my God.
Talk about high pressure. My first event shoot was a wedding. Actually, no, I'll take that back. My first event shoot was actually a nightclub, aka, or it was a nightclub, aka Founders Day.
Mm-hmm.
Completely way over my head. I know I'd never done night photography, never done anything like that. And I was just like, okay, well, we're moving by faith. When I tell you, it was probably one of the worst photo shoots I've ever done. The lighting was so bad.
Yeah.
But then when I sent it to the clients, they were really happy about it. And that just let me know that, oh, I'm really my worst critic. Because what I felt was terrible and I sent it to them, they loved. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then it was the next week that I got the wedding.
How was the wedding? How was shooting your first wedding?
Weddings are more high stress than you can ever imagine. And I will say, as like a wedding photographer, you see everything that goes behind the scenes, from the bride cussing out the bridesmaid to the groom being drunk, getting ready in the back. You see everything. And then that's where I was like, okay, I see this as an issue. This is where my service is going to speak for itself. Through my service, I was able to, like, when I saw the bride was getting stressed, I would just pull her to the side. I'd be like, hey, I just want to grab a quick couple photos of you. I'd pull her into a room. I would just not take any photos. I'll just let her breathe. I'd be like, just take your time, breathe, relax. And that was probably one of the best weddings I ever got reviewed for, because she was like, you took the time to care about how I was feeling, not just your job. And that customer service is why I would refer you to other people. But weddings are extremely high stress.
Like, yeah, I can imagine.
Man, and you cannot miss a moment. Like, you are and weddings are like, the wedding I was booked from 9 a.m. to about 1 p.m. So I was essentially on my feet for about 12 to 14 hours. And yeah. You're just going. It's nonstop because you cannot miss a moment.
Wow. So you did that by yourself?
Yep. My first wedding I did by myself, and I will never do a wedding by myself again. I would never do it again.
I was like, how can you be at kind of being at two places at once trying to get... Yeah,
that's... At the very minimum, I will have an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will still shoot the wedding by myself, but I have to have an assistant. And the thing is, once you break down everything in the schedule, so like, let's say I get there at 9, right? From 9 to 12, I'm shooting photos of the bride getting ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
From 12 to 1, I'm shooting photos of the groom getting ready. So everybody is kind of running on my schedule, but I have to keep it moving. And then when they drop off schedule, that knocks off my schedule, which then has to, you know, it's this one big spiral. So with that, I would say, yeah, shooting a wedding by yourself, great. Would not recommend though.
So what does an ideal photo shoot look like for you? Like, what would be like your dream setting or like concept or whatever?
I don't think, the funny thing is I've started to realize I prefer to do photo shoots now that are more in tune with what I'm feeling at the moment. Like, for instance, the Negro Woman project that I just released on Instagram, which is not finished dropping. I still have two pictures that I have to drop, but I just haven't gotten to them yet. That was a time where the announcement of Breonna Taylor had just come out. That was when I was actually shooting that. And then also the election was coming up. So it was a time to merge how I was feeling about how America treated Black women and then how the election was going with Black people as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So my ideal photo shoots now are starting to be geared towards exactly what I'm feeling. But if we're talking like on a client-based setting, I prefer when a client comes to me knowing exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Or an idea of what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let you flow with that idea versus a client saying, I want this, 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 and this, and this. And then when you try to deliver that, they start changing their mind in the middle. So that's probably one of the most frustrating things. So it's best to come with an idea and then fleshing it out with the photographer. So he's more able to understand where your mind is going versus saying, I want a photo shoot. No idea where it's going. And then you leave it up to the photographer. When he comes up with the idea, you don't like it. So it's always best to be involved in the creative process with the photographer. So those would be my ideal client shoots.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your clothing brand, Yesma Incorporated. When did you come up with this idea?
You'll actually laugh at this. We were all on Xbox Live.
Who is we?
Me, my best friend Manny, and his younger brother Eli, and another one of our other friends. We were on Xbox Live, just talking, playing the video game as usual. And then we just started like talking about our moms, and we were like, "Bro, don't moms say the funniest things?"
Yeah.
And then we were like, "Yeah, African moms especially, because all three of us are Nigerian."
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, man, I wish somebody would put some of the things that our mom says on the shirt. And we're like, wait a minute. Why don't we do that? This happened back like during quarantine.
Yeah.
So like early March, end of April. This happened back then when we were all at home just sitting. And we're like, why don't we do that? We're like, nah. And then we put it to the back burner. And then one day we were just like, let's actually see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's actually see what happens. So it really stemmed off us being on the games, joking about our parents, and then realizing that our moms really say some funny things, and there's really nothing around that actually immortalizes that.
Yeah.
Right? So imagine giving your mom a shirt with something she always says to you on it.
Yeah.
she would laugh at it, but it's like, that's something she would actually wear.
Yeah.
Or like, walking through your house and your mom's like, I'm not your mate. And like, you look at her shirt and she's like, so that type of a thing is what kind of essentially created the entire idea. And then we were just like, okay, well, let's do it.
So this was all during quarantine. So how did you go about, like, okay, you had the idea and then you're like, okay, we could actually do that. And then you're like, wait, so what's next? Like, how do we actually do it? Yeah.
Man, it was difficult. I'm just grateful that I have a best friend who's actually pretty good at graphic design, and mm-hmm. he understands websites. So he handled all the back end stuff of like what hosts our website, what captures the people's emails, what captures essentially everything on the back end, how you pay for your stuff. And then we all chimed in on like putting in the information that we needed, the shipping policies, all of that different things. We looked and compared with other brands. And then we also were just like, we need a promotion strategy. So I was able to handle like the promotion strategy. I told him what I would like to see graphics wise. Mm-hmm. And then the good thing is we didn't have to really outsource a lot because he created the logo. He created the graphic design. I was able to handle the photography for the event. He was able to handle the video for the shoot. So all of the mm-hmm. pictures are taken and done by us. So we kind of have a niche group within the three of us that's able to kind of handle everything we need. The only thing we really essentially outsourced and paid for was getting our inventory in and like hosting the website, getting our PO box and all those little stuff.
Oh, wow. So y'all really, basically between the three of y'all really just had yourselves.
We were just like, are we going to do this? Yes. Is this really what we want to do? Yes. How much money do we have to put up? This is how much. All right. Well, you have till this amount of time to get it together. Once we get it there, we're going to go straight through it. It was one of those, you got to let it go and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then if it doesn't work out, then you understand you actually gave it a fair shot. Mm-hmm.
So what should people expect to see from your brand? I know I saw shirts. I think I saw some hoodies.
So right now in the beginning, we're sticking to shirts and hoodies. And they're just going to have different sayings. We also have a special gift for everyone who orders a shirt and hoodie. It comes in your bag. So look out for that if you order one. But we're going to probably move on to other things with like maybe mugs. Maybe socks, maybe different things. I know a face mask has definitely been a thought. Mm-hmm. So we're working through it, but for right now we're sticking with shirts, hoodies, but we have a bunch of different things that are gonna go on there. Mm-hmm. Sneak preview is I'm Your Mate, Jollof and Plantain for President, mm-hmm. different funny iterations that are common in the diaspora. And then we're also going to include our African American mother sayings. We're going to include Latinx sayings. There's going to be something for everyone.
That's amazing. So I want to move on to you and playing instruments. So I've seen that you play instruments. Please tell us which ones you play. I think I've seen you play the drums.
Yes, I play the drums. I recently just tried to learn the bass, but I had to give up on that because I genuinely just don't have the time for it right now. But so I'm sticking to drums, and I also occasionally sing from time to time, but that's only really at church. Mm-hmm.
So when did you start playing the drums?
Man, I started playing drums, honestly, for as long as I can remember. I've always been the little kid who would like run up to the drums after church is over and go bang on them. So like that was me. And then eventually I just kept growing with it. And here I am now at 24 going on 25 and I haven't stopped playing. So.
Wow. So you started basically in church and you still continue playing in church?
Still continue playing in church. I always play in church. I haven't been to church recently due to COVID. And I wish I could go more, but like school online and COVID, it's a little tough. So I've been going to church soon, but I would definitely try to make sure and make some time to either go out there or find a way to keep playing.
That's amazing. Okay, next, I want to talk about your sneaker collection.
Oh, Jesus.
I feel like you probably saw this question coming. Okay, so when did you start building your sneaker collection?
Okay, I am going to attribute this to my girlfriend.
Okay.
My girlfriend and actually my line brother, Gabe, and my friend, Dollar. Mm-hmm. They used to tell me all the time, bro, you cannot keep wearing sweats and a t-shirt and a hoodie everywhere.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I got a girlfriend where she was like, I cannot keep showing up to dates and I'm dressed up and you're looking like this. So yeah. Get it together. Mm-hmm. So I want to say 2018, mm-hmm. I bought my first sneaker. My first pair of sneaker was a pair of gold and black metallic one. Actually, no. Take that back. My first sneaker I bought was the Air Max 95s.
Okay.
The black and gold Air Max 95s. I actually think it's either somewhere in here or somewhere in the back. But mm-hmm. I bought those, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. Because then it was like, okay, yeah. If I got these, I need a pair of sneakers for... this color to match this, and I need this one to match this.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is dropping this week. I really like that. I'm going to grab that. And then it just kind of spiraled out from there. I think my collection is up to maybe $6,000 or $7,000 right now.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite shoe that out right now? I see you have the, I think it's the fours.
Yeah, the sale fours.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
If you need a plug, let me know.
And you got them from Off Sneakers app, right?
No, I actually paid. Okay, okay. After. I got them off of StockX. I paid resale for them, but
yikes.
those are shoes I had to have, but I got them like right after they dropped.
Okay.
And my plug helped me out get them really, really nice. I wasn't taxed too much.
Okay.
I still got taxed, but I wasn't taxed too much. And So my top three favorite sneakers right now.
Literally, my next question was, if there were only three pairs of shoes you were allowed to wear for the rest of your life, what would they be? So I guess that could be that.
It would be my Giuseppes. I have a pair of white and gold Giuseppes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably the most comfortable leather shoes I've ever worn.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be my off-white fours. Because
mm-hmm.
you'll be surprised how comfortable the sales are.
Okay.
And then last but not least would be these babies right here.
The Superstars?
The Adidas Superstars. This was actually a gift from my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
These were a gift from my girlfriend. And the reason why these were such a gift, because when I was in the UK, because I grew up there.
Oh, okay.
These were such a big thing that if you didn't have these in school, it was bad. I managed to get a pair of these mm-hmm. when I was younger. Always wanted them.
Yeah.
And then one day, I think I got on the bus and I left them in a bag on the bus, and I was never able to get another pair again.
So when she bought me
this pair, this had a whole bunch of sentimental value. So, and they're extremely comfortable.
Yeah, they are.
So yeah, those would be my top three. So I have one designer, one somewhat designer, and then another comfort shoe.
That's a good three.
How about yourself? What would be your top three?
See, I'm not a sneakerhead, so
that's a lie. Because I'm sure see you. I saw you starting with the mochas. I saw you with the royal toes. You are not slick.
I'm not a sneakerhead. I don't think I have a top three shoe. I just wear what I like. I don't have like a staple shoe. I guess a pair of Jordan 1s, an Air Force 1, and I recently got these Converse platform shoes that are supposed to be for hiking, the most comfortable shoe ever.
Really?
Yes. This.
Wow.
So that comfortable.
That actually looks like a really high sole.
It is. It is. But it's so comfortable. Better because the regular Converse are very for flat feet people, so that one
I think that might be why I like Converse so much, because I'm actually flat-footed. No, for real,
that's
I'm actually flat-footed, so that might be why I actually like flat shoes.
Oh yeah, makes sense. So what have you learned about yourself in quarantine?
What have I learned about myself in quarantine? I just recently realized that I don't deal very well with not knowing.
Oh.
I don't deal very well with the unknown.
Yeah.
And then I also learned that within myself, I definitely allow sometimes my fear to cripple me.
Yeah.
Because during quarantine, I actually lost a very close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And that just made me not want to do anything. Mm-hmm. I was scared to leave the house. I was scared to be around people. And then it just was not a pretty sight. So during quarantine, I learned that I definitely have to deal better with my fear and also essentially being around uncomfortable situations where I don't know or don't control everything.
Mm-hmm. That's real. So my final question is, what's next for you? Because since you are a multifaceted individual who is very unorthodox and dibble and dabbles into many things, what's next for you?
What's next for me? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that.
Great answer.
I genuinely don't know, and I'm okay with that. I'm just going to continue to exist in a space of wanting to be happy and being around the things that make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever that leads me, I'm completely fine with. I'm getting to a point in my life where I'm starting to understand that regardless of how I feel, I am a lot better than where I once was. And as long as I keep moving, I'm going to be in a great place to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And understanding that my race is my race alone, and not looking to the left of me and to the right of me, mm-hmm. I think the more I grow in that and the more I continue to work on the different nuances in my life,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to be just fine. So the answer to your question is, I don't know, but I'm excited for what's to come.
Great answer. Please plug yourself. Let the people know where they can find you and find your brand. Please let the people know when things are dropping. This is going to be out past the drop, so just let the people know that the things are going to be available.
Yeah, no problem. So you can follow me personally on Instagram at @thedrummerboy_1. Drummer Boy is spelled with two I's, so it's DRUMMERBOII_1. You can follow my photography journey at d.o.photography_, and the brand is Yes My Ink. We are also Yes My Ink on Instagram, and you can follow us through there, through Twitter. We're all on this under the same name. And then, yes, products will be dropping this Sunday, which is, the 22nd? That will be our launch day. And then, yeah, so I'm really hoping we sell out. And if we do sell out, we're going to be, you know what? I'm going to give Rel another exclusive. We will be, for the next drop, possibly doing pre-orders, depending on how the first drop goes. Especially with newer products coming out. So that way, kind of like how Telfar did the bag security program.
Yeah.
We're going to be allowing people to pre-order. And then with that pre-order, we'll also maybe restock some items if we so decide to. So right now we're going with the logo t-shirt, the Am I Your Mate t-shirt, and the Am I Your Mate hoodie in white and black. And then hopefully to come, we might do a logo t-shirt and a logo hoodie, because we haven't done a logo hoodie yet. So that's just something to keep in mind. But yeah, follow us.
Yes. So this episode is going to be out November 30th. So at this time, if you're listening to this, we're manifesting that it's already going to be sold out. I'm sorry. You're going to just have to wait for the pre-order, guys.
Amen. Our back accounts need it.
Amen. So everything will be in the note, the description. Please follow. Make sure you guys keep up to date. Thank you, Dan, so much for being on this episode. You guys can follow me on Unorthodox Real on Instagram. Please rate and follow on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and I'll catch you in the next one. Bye.